Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are studying Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15 of the Daily Lectionary with Pastor David Tannehill from Grace Lutheran Church in Vine Grove, Kentucky. Now, Pastor Tannehill, before we went to break, we covered that first segment, Jesus being delivered over to Pilate. Now we're ready to get into the verses 6 and following, talking about Jesus being delivered over to be crucified. Mm-hmm. So I'll read those verses, and then we'll take a look at them. Now, at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Takes your breath away, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know,
this is if Pilate had his mouth ajar before seeing that Jesus didn't speak in his defense, he must have been just amazed at the crowd shouting out for a hardened criminal, a murderer, Barabbas, to be released instead of Jesus. And you know, you'd think, wow, what a hardened crowd. But Mark does a good thing in letting us know what exactly happened in that crowd when he says in verse 11, the chief priests stirred the crowd up to have Pilate released. Well, this is a stacked group. You could imagine them coming with their hordes and supporters and cronies and filling the courtyard so that when the time came, you know, who should I release? There'd be a good hue and cry, yelling out Barabbas, the answer that Pilate couldn't possibly have expected.
Now, what feast was this that's mentioned in verse 6? Now, at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked.
Well, now they're coming up on the Passover. Uh-huh. So, you know, this is the most solemn time of the year, and so to curry favor, you know, he developed this practice of goodwill, you know, releasing somebody, you know, from prison that probably wasn't any grand threat, but would be a good gesture of good faith and kind of maybe smooth things over during a time of heightened sensitivities as there were. But to release a hardened criminal and a murderer, I'm sure that wasn't the plan at all. What Pilate probably had in mind was something so obvious as black and white that nobody can make the decision in the wrong direction. You know, here you've got Jesus. Look at this man. You know, he's obviously not going to harm anybody. And look over here. I've got a hardened murderer, you know, the fellow whose face would show up on a poster at the post office. And you know, who are you going to release? And, of course, the obvious answer would have been, well, Jesus, of course. But no, the crowd shouts back Barabbas. And now Pilate is thinking to himself, well, what do you want me to do with Jesus? And then even the more terrifying answer, crucify him. You know, not a call to release Barabbas and release Jesus. No, keep Jesus. Hang on to him. Crucify him.
So this Pilate has this custom of releasing one prisoner, and so he's thinking, oh, here's the out. Here's the opportunity to release Jesus, be done with this, wash my hands of it, and have nothing to do with it. And there happens to be in prison a man, a murderer, whose name is Barabbas. Anything significant about that name?
Well, you know, a lot of things could be kind of drawn on that, but I don't think we really want to press it too much because we don't want to make it allegorical. You know, here's a real man and a criminal. But in some ways, you know, you can't help but get a whole sermon out of it when you think about it. Here is Jesus being given up for a criminal. And when you think about it, that is the nature of the gospel. We're the criminals. We're the ones who have broken the law. And it's Jesus who is being offered up for our sins. He's being crucified in our place. And so we kind of recoil when we hear about Barabbas and we think, oh, you know, this tawdry individual, you know, and goodness, you know, they're taking our Savior away. And you think, that individual's me. out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery. That's me. I'm the criminal for whom Jesus gave his life to redeem with his blood on the cross. It's a sermon all in itself. Here's Jesus dying for the sinner, for the criminal.
I haven't done any background on this, so this might not have any ground at all. But the name Barabbas, to me, if I'm looking at it, Bar means son, correct? Mm-hmm. And Abba means father, correct?
Right.
So
right.
His name means son of the father?
Yep. Yep. Very much so. It's just a scary name when you think about it. You know, it's like having a crazed murderer with the name, you know, beloved of God. You know, like David, my own name, for example. But yeah, it's a terrible indictment when you think about it.
Yet, you know, so would you rather have Barabbas or Jesus? And they say, release Barabbas. And so the crowd came up, began to ask Pilate to do as they usually did for him, answering them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
And for he thought that it was out of envy the chief priest had him delivered up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd. They go out there and work the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. Now, what kinds of things would they have to go around to the crowd and say to get them to cheer for, to yell for Barabbas?
You know, I wouldn't think much. You know, the old thought used to be, well, wow, you know, how did the crowd that cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday get so hostile by Good Friday? My guess is a lot of that crowd that welcomed Jesus was still at home, you know, getting ready for the new day, putting their kids on the bus for school, so to speak, and not even aware of this. But instead, you've got a palace courtyard filled with cronies that have come, you know, to indict Jesus, including the entire Sanhedrin, which was a formidable crowd. And so you can imagine them saying, okay, when he asks the question, shout it out all at one time, over and over again, Barabbas, Barabbas, give me Barabbas, and make it a deafening cry for his name so there's no mistake about it.
Sure, and when we see this in films, it's quite often depicted as that too, in a crowd cheering or yelling for mm-hmm. Barabbas, and give us Barabbas, and then crucify him. When we get to that point, verse 12, and Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews? Isn't it interesting? He says, the man you call the king of the Jews.
Mm-hmm. He knows where this is coming from. Yep. And I think he's probably thinking, you know, release them both. You know, it's like the child, you know, who's offered, two pieces of candy. Which one do you want? You know, the red one or the black one? You know, I'll take them both. But no, they have no interest in having Jesus. In fact, that must have been a second jolt to hear them say, first of all, that they wanted Barabbas, and then instead of saying, yeah, free Jesus too. No, crucify him. Wow, they want him crucified.
Hmm. You were talking about the children and candy. That made me think of when my wife asks if I would like chocolate or vanilla for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
My answer is yes.
Absolutely, that's the perfect answer.
It's a good Lutheran answer.
There
both,
you go.
Both and?
Well, I hate to say it, but the red and the black candy was from my childhood, too. I remember being offered suckers one time, and there's a picture of me by an uncle, and he said, which one do you want? And I didn't answer, and so he said, you must want both, and I nodded yes, and I had both.
Well, this is certainly a lot deeper than our want for candy or ice cream or dessert. But Pilate says, then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said, why? And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done?
Yeah. Yeah, it must have just been stomach-wrenching to see a crowd just turn so vicious.
Hmm.
And yet Pilate himself was a vicious man. I mean, he wasn't a man who was terribly great at diplomacy. you know, we have that perplexing verse from Luke 13 where it says, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So you think, well, okay, now this wasn't a gentle man either. And so if this repulsed him, it gives you an idea of just how horrifying the whole thing was. This was no soft-footed kind of fella. He was pretty hardened himself, and yet here he can see the barbarism of the crowd asking for the crucifixion of a man who's obviously innocent.
But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Yeah.
So he releases Barabbas.
He does. And the innocent man dies for the guilty. And here is Jesus now stepping into our place, bearing the shame, the guilt, and the punishment for our sins, in a way that's just amazing. And yet, it really comes back full circle, though, where the idea of having Jesus crucified, the hope of showing Jesus forsaken by God, that even God doesn't want anything to do with him. And saying, sure, if let God rescue him if he wants, because he says, I am the Son of God. Here's Jesus hearing all these taunts and could end it at any time, but then you and I would be lost in our sins. But here's the nature of the cross. Even Jesus, who we hear about the beating he's taken overnight, of course, before the Sanhedrin, and then the taunting and the beating and the scourging that comes at the end of this text, as horrifying as that is, and I used to always tell my adult information classes, they make movies about Jesus enduring this, but they could never show it, as it actually was. Who could bear it to watch it? And of course, then they came out with the recent movie, of course, of Jesus' crucifixion, which is a little more graphic, of course, than the older ones would be. But the real terror of the cross is the fact, even more than the spikes and the nails and in the feet, would be the fact that for that time on the cross, the Father now has to turn his back on his Son and let rain down upon him the full wrath and anger for the sins of the world, including yours and mine. And so when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is forsaken. That's the punishment of the cross, being forsaken by God. So when you and I die, we never face that. That's the great thing. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And now God assures us, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. There's never a time we're out of God's hands. And that's because Jesus allowed himself to be forsaken, as we see here in this text.
Amen. Well, Pastor, any other thoughts on this text, verses 6 through the last verse through 15?
Just as a marvelous preparation for Lent, it reminds
Absolutely.
Us that our all-powerful Jesus, who is the Son of the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, as we see here, but also begotten of the Father, who with all the power that is His, could have said, "Oh, enough of this," and put an end to this whole kangaroo court. Here is Jesus who allowed himself to be bound, turned over, and prosecuted and crucified for us, the innocent for the righteous. And so when we see Barabbas going free, that's us. Here's Jesus who stepped in our place as our substitute, allowed himself to go to the cross and bear the punishment for the sins of the world so that we would have forgiveness and be able to now rejoice and sing all the great hymns of Easter until we're hoarse, because we have a living Savior, and we have God's love and mercy now and forever.
Amen. Now, how will the saints at Grace Lutheran Church in Vine Grove, Kentucky, be observing that and celebrating?
We are going to sing every verse until we're hoarse. No, we get together and we have a lovely Easter service, and then we have a marvelous Easter breakfast that follows, and it's just such a joyous, joyous time. It really is. It's something we never take for granted, because we're a small little mission congregation, so the opportunity to worship itself is a blessing, but to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord is a joy that can't be measured.
Absolutely. Well, we've been studying the Daily Lectionary, Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15 today with Pastor David Tannehill from Grace Lutheran Church in Vine Grove, Kentucky. Pastor Tannehill, thanks so much for being our guest this morning
thanks
on His Time.
Thanks for having me, Andy. I appreciate it. It's good to be with you.
It was good to study, a blessing to get to study with you this morning. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer, where we'll hear that sermonette on today's text, Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.